invite you to join us on your Bible app or on your Bible to 2 Chronicles 4:8-13. Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah bearing large shields and spears, and 280,000 from Benjamin bearing regular shields and drawing the bow. All these people were valiant warriors. Then Zerah the Cushite, he came against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots. They came as far as Mareshah. And so Asa marched out against him and lined up in battle formation in Zephiah Valley at Mareshah. Then Asa cried out to the Lord his God, "Lord, there is no one besides you to help the mighty and those without strength. Help us, Lord our God, for we depend on you, and in your name we have come against this large army. Lord, you are our God. Do not let a mere mortal hinder you." And so the Lord routed the Cushites before Asa and before Judah, and the Cushites fled. Then Asa and the people who were with him pursued them as far as the Jerah. The Cushites fell until they had no survivors, for they were crushed before the Lord and his army. And so the people of Judah carried off a great supply of loot. Amen.
Psalm 107:28-30 says, "Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storms be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven." This morning as we worship together, we are encouraged just to take that time to spend with God in his presence, so that when we can have an experience that deliverance, and that we can experience his power afresh and new in our lives. Ken and I are happy to join with you again through this space, and our prayer for you each and every day. Some we haven't met as we communicate and gather in this way. Others are members of our congregation, others are members of our community, but yet we are all one, united together by God's love and God's power. And so today, let's just worship this great and powerful God.
Lord, I come to you, let my heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in you. To know the weaknesses I see in me will be stripped away by the power of your love. Hold me close, let your love surround me. The knowledge of your love as you live in me. Lord, renew my mind as your will unfolds in my life, in living every day, in the power of your love. Your love surround me. Bring me near. Draw me to your side. And as I wait, I'll rise up like the eagle.
For you today in this space is that you allow God through the Holy Spirit to make you more like Him, and that you would know His power beyond anything like you've known before, so that you can be the best representation of Jesus in the spaces where you find yourself and in the communities where you live. May God bless you today.
Well, good morning, my friends. Today, we're looking at the third Sunday in our study on the Book of Chronicles, our Book of Recovery. We're looking at stronger than ever, increasing God's power in your life. And today, we're looking at 2 Chronicles chapters 14 to 16. What kind of encouragement does a nation need when it emerges from a national crisis? That's the question Ezra is answering for us in this Book of Recovery, the Book of Chronicles. Let me ask you a personal question. What kind of encouragement do you need when you're facing a personal crisis? Well, Ezra is answering that question for us in this section of Chronicles that we're going to be looking at today. Now, last week, we looked at King Solomon, and we learned how his gift of wisdom endowed an entire nation. 2 Chronicles chapters 10 to 13 tells the story of Solomon's son, whose name was Rehoboam. Rehoboam was not a wise king. When the people asked them to lower their taxes, he raised them instead, and that split the kingdom forever. From that time on, Israel was a divided kingdom. The 10 tribes in the north were known as Israel, and the 2 tribes in the south were called Judah. Now, throughout its history, 19 kings ruled the kingdom of Israel, and not one of them followed the Lord. 20 kings ruled in the kingdom of Judah, and many of them tried to follow the Lord. Ezra, who's writing to a distressed people, is looking for positive examples to teach uplifting lessons, so Chronicles majors in the kings to the south. Now, after David, Solomon, and Rehoboam come two kings which names both start with A. The first one is Abijah. Abijah reigned for 3 years, so we're going to kind of skip over him. We're going to go to the second king whose name starts with A, and his name is Asa. Asa was not perfect, but he was one of the good guys. He was one of the good kings. Ezra is going to use the life of Asa to teach us three lessons on the power of faithfulness today. Asa is going to show us that when we are faithful to God, God is faithful and unfailing to us. He's going to teach us that the faithful may have setbacks, but never full-on failures, because God is faithful to his faithful ones. And all that God has is strongly available to the person who is strongly available to God. Ezra's story spans three chapters of 2 Chronicles, chapters 14, 15, and 16. The first chapter is a lesson from a rout. The second chapter is a lesson from a revival. And the third chapter is a lesson from a rebuke. So if you're ready to do some learning today, take your notes, open your Bibles, go to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. And while you're doing that, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, speak to me. Amen. Now, around 900 BC, the king of Cush, which is modern-day Ethiopia, was powerful enough to conquer the kingdom of Egypt. The country north of Egypt was Judah, which happened to be ruled by young King Asa. Now, Donat read 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verses 8 to 13 a little earlier, and that tells us the story. Now imagine yourself as a young king, maybe 30 years old. You get wind that a million-man army is coming against you. Everyone under your care, every person you love, everything, every animal, every building, every field in your kingdom is about to be overrun, broken, killed, ravaged, or stolen. What do you do? You do what every person of faith does. You pray your knuckles white. You call on the Lord. Lord, Asa says, there is no one besides you to help us. Help us, Lord, because we depend on you. Well, what does God do? God answers prayer. And he answers. He does what you ask and more than what you ask. He not only protects your kingdom and everyone you love, he gives your enemy over to you so that his army is totally destroyed and can never come against you again. It may have been this passage that the Apostle Paul was thinking of when he wrote that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can ask or even imagine. Ezra is teaching a lesson to a people who are insecure and unsure. Now listen closely here. Ezra is writing to a people who feel insecure and unsure. Like you, like me. Like many of us do right now. We wonder, we ask, do I dare eat at a restaurant? Is it safe for my children to attend classes in person at school? Is it safe to go out? Does that person look sick to me? Ezra is teaching us a lesson in our faith in God's faithfulness. I call it the lesson of the rout. Ezra prays, and the Bible says, the Lord routed the Cushites before Asa and before Judah, and the Cushites fled. The lesson of the rout is this. You call on the Lord, and he will fight for you. Listen, when you work, you get what you can do. But when you pray, you get what God can do, and God can do anything. He can rout a million-man army. He can supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. He can supply your financial needs, your physical needs. He can give you a job in the midst of a pandemic. He can give you a friend. He can encourage you. He can keep you from falling. Sometimes he will let you feel outnumbered so you can know that you can count on him. The lesson of the rout is when you are in a mess, be faithful to pray so that God can be faithful to answer. I hope you're praying for a miracle these days because we need one, don't we? We need a cure for the coronavirus, and a vaccine is on the way. You see, if God can defeat a million-man army, he can surely defeat a single-cell organism, can't he? Well, of course he can. 2 Chronicles 7:14, last week Ezra reminded us that if my people who are called by my name will pray, here it is, I will heal their land. The lesson of the route is, if I will be faithful to pray, he will be faithful to fight. Say that out loud after me. If I will be faithful to pray, he will be faithful to fight. Hallelujah. So what are you going to do the first thing tomorrow morning? Pray. What are you going to do as soon as this sermon is over? Pray. Ask a prayer partner then to pray with you. Ezra's second lesson comes in chapter 15. The rout is over, and Ezra and his men are returning to their homes and families. On their way home, the Lord sends them a prophet named Azariah to encourage them. This is in chapter 15, verses 1 to 9. The Spirit of God came on Azariah, son of Oded. So he went out to meet Ezra and said to him, Ezra and all of Judah and Benjamin, hear me. The Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you abandon him, he will abandon you. For many years, Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without instruction. But when they had turned to the Lord God of Israel in their distress and sought him, he was found by them. In those times there were no peace for those who went about their daily activities, because the residents of the lands had many conflicts. Nation was crushed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every possible distress. But as for you, be strong. Don't give up, for your work has a reward. When Ezra heard these words and the prophecy of Azariah, son of Oded, the prophet, he took courage and removed the abhorrent idols from the whole land of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities he had captured in the hill country of Ephraim. He renovated the altar of the Lord that was in front of the portico of the Lord's temple. Then he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, as well as those from the tribes of Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon, who were residing among them. For they had defected to him from Israel in great numbers when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. Now, on the way home from a great victory, God asks Ezra to make it even greater. During the reigns of his father and grandfather, people had begun worshiping other gods, the gods of the Canaanites. People had built places of worship to Baal all over the land. Ezra thinks about the first commandment, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. And Ezra sends wrecking crews out to tear down the pagan worship centers. And he commissions the Levites to refurbish the temple. The people are so inspired by Ezra's leadership that they all flock to Jerusalem for a great celebration. People from the northern tribes start moving south just to be under Ezra's leadership. Verse 11 says, at that time they sacrificed to the Lord 700 cattle and 7,000 sheep and goats from the plunder that they had brought. You see, when David was asked to build an altar to the Lord, he did more than what was asked. When Solomon was seeking God's favor, he sacrificed more than he was expected. When Ezra and his people made a sacrifice, they do 1,000 times more than they were asked. When people love God deeply, they give to him lavishly. Their covenant said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve him with all our heart, soul, and mind and strength. Zeal for the Lord was consuming them. They took an oath, and not a quiet one. There were shouting and trumpets and ram's horns. This was a revival. Everyone rejoiced because everyone was all in for God. Now, the lesson of the revival is this. Seek the Lord, and he will be found by you. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 1 to 15. I hope that you're praying for a national revival in these days. How many people during this pandemic and these pandemic days do you suppose are feeling lost and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd? In April of 2020, the number of Google searches for Is God Real doubled around the world. People are seeking. My friends, the Lord is with you when you are with Him. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. This principle, this promise, is for every man, woman, boy, and girl alive today. How many people do you know who need to know that promise? How many people do you think that you can share that promise with this week? Maybe in person, socially distanced. Maybe via an email or through social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You know, Fred, God promises that if you seek Him, He will be found by you. Judy, God is available to you right now. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. Hey, Bill, you know where you can find God these days? If you seek Him, He will be found by you. Here's an interesting bit of trivia. Do you know where the concept of revival comes from? It comes from right here. The book of 2 Chronicles is the book of revival, not only the book of recovery. Ezra is teaching us that the renewal of a nation comes when its people seek the Lord together. People are fearful and frustrated because of a virus, because of inequality. The solution to this frustration is a Savior who loves them. Only God can change a human heart. The chapter ends with this comment. There was no war until the 35th year of Asa's reign, 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 19. For 25 years there was peace. When you find God, you find peace. For Christ is the Prince of Peace. Will you pray with me for a revival in our land? Will you pray with me for a revival in our city? Revival has to start somewhere. Why couldn't it start with you? Why couldn't it start with me? Why couldn't it start with us together? Well, Ezra has a third lesson for us. Chapter 14 is about the rout. Chapter 15 is about the revival. 16 is about the rebuke. Friends, without a doubt, one of the greatest promises in all of Scripture is 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. The eyes of the Lord roam throughout the earth to show Himself strong for those who are wholeheartedly devoted to Him. Listen, God is looking for fully devoted followers, and when He finds them, He fortifies them, He adds strength to them, and He does great things for them. The lesson of the rebuke, commit to the Lord, and He will fortify you. If you remember years early when the Cushites came against Judah as a return to God and prayed for His help, the second time it happened, He doesn't. Instead, it says, so Asa brought out the silver and gold from the treasuries of the Lord's temple and the royal palace and sent it to Aram's king Ben-Hadad, who lived in Damascus, saying, there's a treaty between me and you, between my father and your father. Look, I've sent you silver and gold. Go break your treaty with Israel's king Baasha, so that he will withdraw from me. Now, where once Asa was filled with fervor, now he's lulled by leisure. Instead of trusting God and leading His people in battle, he pays somebody else to do it for him. Asa had to be reminded that God will make you strong and He will show Himself strong on your behalf. He fights and He finds and He fortifies. That's our God. Bow your head with me. Let's pray together. Lord God, like Asa, there are times when we have been on fire for You, and we are lighting that fire again. When you look around the world, we want You to see us. Friends, pray these words out loud after me. Lord, if there's an assignment You want fulfilled, choose me. Call me. Nudge me. Lord, revive me again. Lord, light Your fire in me again. Lord, use our church to bring many to Christ. Revive our city. Revive our country. Revive our world. And heal us in Jesus' name. Amen. And just before I close, if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, today could be your day. If you'd like to give Him your life, be forgiven of your sins, and become a follower of Him, would you pray this prayer after me right now? Lord Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and I invite you to come and be mine. Come into my heart, live your life through me, and I will live for you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. My friends, may God bless you today.